Let's go ahead and call this. Let's call this meeting to order. Thank you for being here today. Post Council, appreciate your attendance. Just a couple mentions. We have Chief Wade Carpenter, who is excused today. Also, Bruce Bailey will not be here today. He's been excused. Closer is better. All right. And Sheriff Robert Decker has joined us by phone. So we do have a quorum, and we'll go ahead and proceed. Before I do that, I'd like to go ahead and turn just a second over to Director Stevenson for some information.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, you may notice as we get to investigations, Lieutenant Al Acosta is no longer here. He retired for the second or third time, I'm not sure. he has flown the coop, and he's off to greener pastures, I guess. But we appreciate his work and what he did for our investigative bureau, and wish him all the best. But right now we have an opening. We're going to leave it vacant for a little while, get through the holidays, and then start the recruitment for a new lieutenant in investigations. And we will open that both internally and externally, as we have been doing in the past. So we'll be looking for an announcement. Again, the more names we have in the bin, the better off we are to be able to select a good candidate to represent law enforcement in that position.
Thank you. You have before you the printed copy of the minutes. They are also available online. Hopefully you've had a chance to review those. Are there any changes that need to be made? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote to approve the minutes. A motion, please. Motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. John. Motion to second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We got our phone guy voting there. We're good to go. All right, we'll go ahead and start with the quarterly reports. Captain Kelly Sparks, please.
Thank you, Chairman, Council members. The following is a synopsis of activity within the Post Investigations Unit since our last post-council meeting in September. We have received a total of 38 complaints. Of those 38 complaints, they generated 24 new investigations. We've conducted 2 administrative law judge hearings. 6 cases have been closed with no action following the completion of investigations. During this quarter, we've also received 5 voluntary relinquishments. Those voluntary relinquishments were related to use of controlled substance, DUI. 2 of them were related to lying under Garrity allegations, and 1 for falsifying government records. Our investigations unit has also completed 211 applications for certification. Currently, we have 35 active and open investigations and 62 total open investigations. Any questions about any of that material?
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and move forward with Lieutenant Wade Brewer.
Good morning, Council members. So I'm going to report on the in-service training group first. The time that this report entails and covers is from September 1st until the end of November, so November 30th. Post has offered 38 in-service classes, training 843 officers and dispatchers for a total of 476 hours of training. So this tends to be one of our just mediocre middle training quarters. You'll find that the next quarter we start to ramp up a little bit in our in-service training area. So and that includes those courses like defensive tactics instructor, defensive tactics recertification, employee discipline, emergency vehicle operations, not including the post cadets. So all of those cadets that have been hired from the Satellite Academy that come through, we have at least one of those EVO courses each month. So that way we can pick all them up. EVO instructor, firearms handgun instructor, recert, instructor development, radar LIDAR certification, and intoxilizer certification. So those are some of the courses that we're offering this quarter. Any questions on in-service training? Any feedback you're getting from your agencies or your law enforcement partners of what we need to offer? We always like to solicit that, try to stay on top of that as best we can. Okay, so I'm going to report a little bit about basic training. Since this last quarter, we've graduated two classes. Class 322, which graduated on September 22nd, we certified 33 law enforcement officers. We started with 35. We had one not pass the special function officer certification, a dismissal for policy violation, and an emergency vehicle operations failure. Now, that EVO failure, that person's going to be able to have 1 year to come back and retake the portion that they failed of the EVO. And 323 graduated November 23rd. We certified 27 law enforcement officers. Started with 29. Two dismissals were for both EVO again, once EVO. Sometimes it gets a little bit heavy on driving for whatever reason. These individuals did not pass, and once again, they'll have a year to complete that. And then we have class 324 that's in session right now. We've got 35 law enforcement officers scheduled to graduate December 15th. However, we have a couple of injuries pending. They're not able to pass the defensive tactics portion of it, they won't certify. And also, we do have one EVO failure pending. So we're at least down to 34 and then possibly 32 if the other two injuries are not able to get off the or get seen by their doctor and get cleared for that. So that's a quick snapshot on our basic training. Our basic training numbers, when we report on the annual report next meeting, looks like they're going to be a little bit higher for this year. We've had a lot of classes that are in that mid-30 range. A lot of agencies are hiring and trying to fill their openings. So that is definitely reflected in our numbers. Any questions regarding basic training? Okay. It's okay to move on to the next one, Mr. Chair. There is two Satellite Academy audits performed this quarter. Utah Valley University, and the director there is Steve DeMille. We met with him and reviewed his training. He is still conducting two special functions block trainings and two law enforcement block training at the UVU. They are a nighttime program. Currently they have a class of 33 in session. That's a little bit up from what he's done previously to that, to this time. Earlier this year, he was a little bit low on numbers and was a little bit of a concern, and I just reminded him that anytime that our numbers are up, it seems like the Satellite Academy numbers are down in training, but he's back up again for whatever reason. And there are no exceptions to report for the administrative audit for Utah Valley University. The second administrative audit that was conducted was on Dixie State University. And the director there is Chief Bob Flowers. And there are no audits to report from Dixie. Any questions about the Satellite Academy audit process? So there are, just for your information, there are 10 Satellite Academies now, and POST makes the 11th Academy in the state of Utah. Okay, thank you, council members.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and turn time over to Director Stevenson for some in-service training hours report.
Thank you, Chair, Council. As you're well aware, every year we have a in-service training audit. We audit every officer within the state to ensure that they get the 40-hour minimum requirement for continuing education. I want to thank John Jacobs and Jamie Garn for heading this audit. It can be very intensive. Even though most of it is automated, we still have officers that decide that they don't want to get their hours, and so we have to work with them to make sure that they get those hours, and some do not. So by way of numbers, there are 8,748 officers in the state of Utah. We fluctuate between 9,000 and that number. And maybe that's why we're seeing the high numbers in basic. Departments are filling in the vacancies that they've had over the last couple of years. We initially sent out 178 suspension letters. So what that means, as of August 1, we send out a suspension letter because those officers are deficient. Those letters go to the departments as well as the officers, letting them know that they are suspended until they make that in-service hour requirement complete. So we had 178 letters go out. After working with the officers and the departments, we got that number down to 13 names that we submitted to the Utah Retirement System. What happens from that point on is up to URS, whether, you know, what they do with that retirement. But traditionally what has happened, if they fail to get that in-service requirement, then they lose that year of public safety retirement and go into the public employee retirement for the year that they're deficient. They have up till October 1 to make up that deficiency, so we give them more than ample time to get those hours in to us. Of the 13 names, 8 were law enforcement officers, and 5 were special functions officers. Any questions about the audit? Okay.
All right, thank you.
Move on to the subcommittee?
Yes, please.
Okay. Remember last September meeting, this body approved a subcommittee to review the virtual system the AG's office has purchased and whether it should be in basic training or as part of an in-service program. The council met and came up with the recommendation, as you see laid before you. And I asked Captain Sparks to head that just to eliminate my biases towards simulator training, or against simulated training, however you want to view that. And so I felt very comfortable with the job that Captain Sparks did and putting this meeting together and summarizing the information. I'm not going to read it to you, but I want to point out the recommendation highlights. They recommended not having it in basic training just because of logistical issues for post and also not taking away from the time that agencies being able to be trained on the virtual system. If we had every post recruit go on there, it would be very difficult and very time consuming to manage, and I think it would take away from, as the committee agreed, would take away from in-service officers having the availability to train on the virtual system. So they wanted to establish a specific program similar to our EVO program for satellites. So in the satellite program, because EVO is not an option, because, again, those academies were inundating the EVO track and not allowing in-service officers to get time on the track. We had to remove them years ago. So what happens is when a officer gets hired from a satellite program, these departments hire them, and then we train them within a month to get them their in-service or EVO requirement. We're going to treat this in a similar fashion. It's going to be a program after they graduate. You, as administrators, have the option of sending them through that virtual training. It is not going to be a requirement by post for certification. And it'll differ in EVO in the fact that it will not be a pass-fail, if I'm right, Captain. It's just to give them more additional experience in front of different scenarios in a simulator training. However, I may propose that you may want to look at including it as part of your FTO. Because as they gain life experience, that foundational argument I posed to the council last meeting is still applicable. They're only going to have academy experience within this format. So the more experience they gain in person, it's going to be more relevant and be relatable to the officer as they go through the virtual system with that foundation behind them. The other big concern with the committee were the satellite academies have an availability on a virtual system. Again, we don't want to create two different curriculums to obtain certification, and so I think this was a wise recommendation by the subcommittee. And I don't know if we need a vote on something like that, since we did vote to put a subcommittee together. If you want to vote to accept the recommendations by the subcommittee, Chair,
We could do that. Also, we want to thank the committee members. It was Chief Wade Carpenter, Sheriff Robert Decker, Chief Ken Wallentine from the AG's office, Lieutenant Wade Brewer, I always get that going, and John Jacobs and Captain Kelly Sparks. So thank them for their time in putting that together. The recommend.
I have just one question.
Please.
Just want to verify if I could. So it looks like if we allow them to, they can just stay over one additional day rather than having to come back. If
yes.
we can have them stay freed up for an additional day, they'll get that knocked out?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Is this the same simulator that's at the AG's office?
This is the simulator that we're referring to, yes.
That would be the one they use. There's three in the state now, I believe. I think there's one up at the Swanson Training Center, if I'm not mistaken.
There's four.
Oh, is there four? And Provo has one now.
Provo has one. Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office has one, and then the AG's office.
Okay. Any further issues or questions? All right. Look for a recommendation on a motion to accept the committee's findings that should not be implemented in basic training.
Move to approve the recommendation of the subcommittee, Sheriff.
Okay.
I'll second that.
They have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and move into our disciplinary cases. Mr. Yaki.
Good morning, council members. We have 17 before the council today. And let's just go ahead and jump right in. If I can find it. Okay, awesome. The first matter before the council is the certification of Carson Aprato. He was not employed as a peace officer at the time of the offense. Sustained allegation is driving under influence, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a one-year suspension, which is the baseline for Category D. A summary of the facts are as follows. On May 22, 2016, Carson Aprato was pulled over for a speeding violation by a local agency. The investigating officer had Aprato perform field sobriety tests. It was determined Aprato was under the influence of alcohol. Aprato was arrested and submitted to a breath test. His breath alcohol content was 0.105. Aprato was booked into the county jail and charged with driving under the influence of alcohol. On October 12, 2016, Aprato pled guilty to the charge of speeding, and all other charges were dismissed without prejudice. On November 30, 2016, Carson Aprato waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Aprato or his representative here? I don't see him. I don't see any representative. We have a motion to, or can I have a motion to stand by the recommendation from post-council or post-investigation for one-year suspension? Is there any discussion on that? I'll entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve post-recommendation of one-year suspension.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Do we have a motion and a second? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Go ahead, please.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Jared Barker, formerly employed with the Springdale Zion Canyon Department of Public Safety. Sustained allegation is engaging in sexual conduct while on duty, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a three-year suspension, which is the baseline for Category B. Summary of the facts are as follows. On July 15, 2016, Jared Barker was investigated for sexual conduct while on duty. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Barker admitted to engaging in sexual conduct while on duty on at least two occasions. After the interview, Barker resigned from his agency, which was prior to the investigation being completed. On October 18, 2016, during a Garrity interview with Post, Barker admitted that between May 1st, 2016 and June 30th, 2016, he engaged in sexual conduct with his girlfriend at her residence while on duty. On November 9th, 2016, Jared Barker waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. I think if you look in your packet, there's also a letter of recommendation. Of course, at least a letter of support from the town of Springdale. I'll give you a second to look at that if you haven't seen that. Is Mr. Barker or his counsel here? Would you like to address post?
Yes, I can.
Yes, please.
Thanks for your time. I'll keep my comments brief. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for my actions to the council, for taking for granted what I had as a police officer in my position. Signing that resignation letter was the swiftest and most powerful lesson I've ever learned in my life. I promise when I am an officer again, nothing like this will ever happen. I would respectfully ask if it's to be considered for leniency from the council. But thanks for your time, and if you have any questions, I'm here to face them.
Any questions for Mr. Barker? Okay, thank you. Hopefully you've had an opportunity then to look at that letter. It's from the chief there in Springdale. Is there any further discussion from the council before we entertain a motion? Okay, we have a 3-year suspension recommended. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Yockey, that's a Category B, right?
Correct. That is a Category B. Baseline is 3 years.
I'll make a motion to reduce it to 1.5 years.
Okay, we have a motion to reduce the 3-year sentence to 1.5 years. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Have a second for G. Stratton. Have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion from the council?
So I didn't hear the motion. Did you repeat that?
The motion was to take the 3-year suspension and reduce it to 1.5 years.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second on the floor currently standing. Any further discussion? If I see none, let's have a vote. All those in favor of the 1.5-year suspension, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. I vote that the ayes have. Let's go ahead and log the. We have 2 nay votes. Robert, was yours an aye or a nay?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have the nays logged. I move that that motion does pass, and that will be changed to 1.5 years. Thank you. Next case.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Todd G. Christensen, currently employed with the Weber County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is child abuse, which falls into Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension, which is the baseline for that offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On or about November 2nd, 2015, Todd Christensen hit his 7-year-old son in the forehead, causing swelling and bruising. Christensen described hitting his son in the forehead by using the knuckle on his right forefinger. Christensen explained he heard noise coming from the shower and upon checking, observed his son pulling on the adjustable shower head fixture. A state social service caseworker reported she observed clearly visible swelling and bruising on the child's head approximately 8 to 10 days later after the incident was discovered by school officials. The state social service agency sustained the physical abuse allegation. Investigators screened a Class A misdemeanor child abuse charge on Christensen. On March 31st, 2016, a city prosecutor filed an infraction charge of disorderly conduct on Christensen. On April 26, 2016, Christensen pled guilty to that charge. On September 13, 2016, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusion of law stating Todd Christensen violated Utah Code Annotated 536-11 as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Christensen or his attorney here? Would you like to address the post?
I would for just a minute if I could. Mr. Chairman, I have a letter here that I'd like to pass out if it's acceptable with you.
Have you enough copies? Or
I do. I've got 15. I didn't know how many would be here.
I think that's pretty close. If you'd like to, yes, we'll accept that. Who's the letter from?
This is from Judge Derita. He's a district court judge in Ogden. I am currently his bailiff.
You can go ahead and address post while we're passing those out, and then we'll give the council a minute after you're done speaking to read that letter.
First of all, I'd like to apologize for even having to appear here. This case has been an absolute nightmare for me and my family. I really messed this one up when dealing with the child discipline. And, you know, certainly not intending to get my child as hard as I did, but I did, and I'm responsible for that. I've done everything I can to take responsibility. I've been completely honest and showed a lot of candor during the both investigations with my office and with the post investigators. I'm not sure what else I can say other than I'm sorry, and I've done what I can to fix things at home and fix things at work, and my office was, you know, doled out some discipline to me, and they put me back to work. And just want to let you know how much I really truly love this job and appreciate this job, and it's what I wanted to do, it's what I chose to do, and 15 years later, I still want to do it and would like to continue doing that.
Thank you. I'll give the council a minute to look at that letter. Yes, please.
Was there, it just says still employed on agency action. Did Weber County take any disciplinary action?
Yeah.
What was the action that they took?
I was given 5 days off without pay, ordered to complete a parenting class and an anger management class.
Any other questions from council for Mr. Christensen?
Chairman, I do.
Please.
Sir, so how long have you been with, or how long have you been in law enforcement now?
Almost 15 years.
15 years, okay. And what's the agency policy that you work for on if you were to receive a suspension from post?
If I receive a suspension, the policy would be that you could resign or terminate. And I don't know if there would be leeway on the length of the suspension, whether they what they want to do with it.
Okay. And Mr. Director, is Mr. Christensen had any issues with post prior to this?
No.
Okay.
Any other discussion or questions?
Can I just add one thing, Director?
Please.
I'm probably in pretty big need of some mercy on this one.
Right, we have before us a recommendation for a 2-year suspension. I'll entertain a motion.
Did the attorney, I don't know if he had the opportunity, but the attorney want to speak?
To Mr. Christensen.
I didn't have much to add. I think that Marcus went through it, but the case was ultimately charged not as a misdemeanor, but as an infraction. It wasn't plea bargained, it wasn't reduced. It was charged as an infraction. Todd entered the plea to the infraction.
And I only mention that because the baseline for an infraction would be significantly different than where we are today.
That's correct. Thank you.
What would that be on an infraction?
Typically for an infraction, it's a 3-month suspension. It generally falls under category F, I believe. And so it'd be a 3-month suspension.
I'll start out. I wanted to,
I always wonder how to handle these when it's from an officer from my department. I'm not involved in the day-to-day management of the department in Weber County, but do provide some oversight to the sheriff's office. And so generally when a case comes before us that involves one of the Weber County officers, I abstain from the vote in that particular case. I think that would be appropriate for me to do in this case. But I do just want to make a statement, if that's okay, regarding the case. Just knowing Mr. Christensen, I've been impressed with his abilities to reason.
I'm just getting some advice here from legal. If you are going to recuse yourself, then you shouldn't make the comment. If you don't want to recuse yourself, you can make the comment.
Can I make a comment that's not specific to him then, that's more specific to the circumstance in broad terms? I guess what I'm trying to get at is that I think this one has implications for me, because there's always this fine line about discipline versus child abuse, right? And to me, we tend to blur that line sometimes. Sometimes we make it harder than it is. And I've always felt like my discipline might be a little harsher than others, but important in the way that I manage my family, and yet would never want to cause issues or to cause harm and rise to the level of child abuse. And so I just think that we need to balance that very carefully, and maybe not jump to harsh discipline unless it can be proven that was the intent. One of the things that I just will point out from the case is there's a statement in here that says that there's no evidence that this act was part of a larger pattern of violence, and to me that means a lot. So maybe that's too much. I hope not, but I appreciate the opportunity to say something, and I will abstain from the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Is there any further? Yes, ma'am.
I have permission to speak.
And you are?
I'm his wife.
Step to the mic. Okay, that won't be permitted. Sorry. Any more further discussion between the council?
Further discussion, I'd like to make a motion, if I may.
I think we're ready for a motion.
Okay, based on the count two, where it's under the title of or in the alternative, based on an infraction, I would recommend we issue a letter of caution in Mr. Christensen's file.
Okay, we have a motion.
Stick to your suspension and to otherwise issue a letter of caution. Have a second for that?
Second.
We have a second for that. Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
I think I would just like to follow up briefly on the previous remarks that were offered. These are never easy cases. I understand that I'm not a parent, but I understand this is an issue that touches really closely for a number of people. That being said, I see a little bit of concern if this council starts going down a path where we're saying, oh, there was no history of it, there was no intent. We haven't treated DV situations in that same way historically. I think there's a number of times where we've had individuals that have been accused of domestic violence, and really there's no pattern. It was just one heated argument, there was no intent. And I think that if we start talking about this in terms of we don't see any pattern, there's no intent, how can we do anything but a letter of caution, then I don't see how we can apply that same reasoning when those types of cases come forward either. I am opposed, and I will let it be known right now, to a letter in this particular case based on the facts that we see. And again, understanding that this is a very difficult situation and not understanding the role of parent and discipline, but I think that there are some factors in this case that raise concern. I think the ALJ pointed out was a mark and swelling 10 days after the fact. There was a noticeable bruise. I think that you know, there's arguably other options rather than a raised knuckle punch to this child's head. And so I don't think that a letter is appropriate in this case. I will say I'm struggling to try and find the right scenario. In my mind, it's somewhere between perhaps the two-year recommendation and maybe half of that, a one-year recommendation. But I don't think that for those reasons, the particular facts of this case, and in my mind, the dangerous precedent it perhaps sets, that a letter is an appropriate course of action here.
Are you offering a substitute motion? If there's a substitute motion, that can be made, and then the maker of the motion can either accept it or not, or we'll move forward on the first motion and then entertain a second one if it doesn't pass.
I think the alternate, my recommendation and my substitute motion would be for a period of 6 months.
A suspension of 6 months?
A suspension of 6 months. And I think that cuts somewhat of the difference between the prior motion, what a baseline would be for a infraction, and what I believe the ALJ thought that there was support for.
Will you accept that as a alternative, as an amended motion?
No, Mr. Chairman. No.
Okay, all right. So at this time we have a motion and a second for, was it a letter of caution, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
For letter of caution. Any further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote.
I agree with Ms. McFarland. To be honest, I think we've gone too far. A letter of caution doesn't fall to me. I was actually thinking 9 months, and I appreciate everything you said and everything you've done. And I think we've gone way too far when we start saying we're just going to give a letter of caution for this particular case. So I just wanted to make my point as well that if I was making a motion, it would be at the back end of the Category C, and it would be the 9-month suspension. To me, that shows enough of the mitigation that's been provided here. But a letter of caution is a very bad message, very poor message, in my opinion, to those that wear the badge and do these things every day.
So are you offering a substitute motion?
I don't mean to be a parliamentary pain in the
rear, but if there's a substitute motion made, even if the maker of the underlying motion doesn't agree with it, if there's a second to that, then that could be accepted.
That could be accepted as a motion.
Rather than getting three deep into three substitutes, that might be the way to go.
All right, we're getting clarification. Okay, did we have a second on the 6-month suspension? Was there a second?
Yes, I'll make that second with Sheriff Decker.
Okay, so we do have a second from Sheriff Decker. So then the motion is a 6-month suspension, is that correct? You sure I got that right?
Yes.
Okay. Any other further discussion? If not, I'll call for the vote. All right. All those in favor of the 6-month suspension, say aye.
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 And all those opposed?
Nay.
Aye.
All right. So we're going to need a count.
The nays?
Yeah, all those that are nay.
Can I see the site again?
And then the...
So you want those in favor?
Yes, and then the ayes.
Favor of the 6-month suspension?
Yes.
We also have Sheriff Decker on the phone.
And his what was... Okay. So we have a 6-7. If it ruled that the motion didn't fail, the nays were 7, and is that correct? Okay. All right. That motion has failed. We'll go back to the first motion that was made, and that would be that a letter of caution be issued.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did we have a second? I think we did.
Right here.
Okay, we have a second. Any further discussion on this? All those in favor of a six-month, or excuse me, of a letter of caution as a motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Let's go ahead. All with ayes, please raise your hands so we can count it. And we have four.
Five. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And then, I think Decker, did you vote no?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
We're no.
Okay. So we have six, right? And all those in favor say aye.
Wait,
four.
Now we're opposed. Yeah, no, all those not opposed. Eight. Rule that that motion fails then. Looking for another motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll make some motion of moving it to a 9-month suspension, which is the bottom end of the range for Category C.
We have a second for that.
Second.
Okay, second. Okay, so any further discussion on the 9-month suspension? All right, I'll call the motion. All those in favor of a 9-month suspension, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have three. I move that that 9-month suspension passes, and that will be reduced to 9 months. I'm a suspension then.
Thank you.
Thank you. You need, can we get the three, the nays, just so we got the record? And, okay. All right, next case, please.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Bradley Durr, formerly employed with the Unified Police Department. Sustained allegation is unlawful use of controlled substance, which falls into Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3.5-year suspension, which is an upward deviation from the 2.5-year baseline based on the multiple occurrences and multiple purchases of the controlled substances. A summary of the facts are as follows. On January 2nd, 2016, Bradley T. Durr was investigated by an outside police agency for domestic violence-related assault and domestic violence-related criminal mischief. The investigation disclosed that on January 2nd, 2016, while investigating the domestic violence, Durr's wife told police Durr had been using steroids. An internal administrative investigation was conducted on Durr, and as part of that investigation, Durr participated in a reasonable suspicion drug test. Test results for Durr returned positive for steroids. Durr admitted in the department Garrity interview, as well as in post-Garrity interview, that he purchased and used steroids throughout the year of 2015. Durr admitted to purchasing steroids 3 times. His first purchase was in January 2015, and his last purchase was after Thanksgiving in 2015. On November 2nd, 2016, Brad Durr waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated facts as contained in and stipulated to the majority of the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Durr or his representative here, please.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Thorne, Brad's attorney. I just want to point out Brad has been an officer. He started at the jail in 2005. For the last 11 years, he's been an excellent officer with absolutely no discipline. During 2015, he made a grave mistake. He has readily admitted to his department to post the use of steroids, the amount, where he got them from, who he got them from. He has not tried to hide that fact. He's always been an outstanding officer up until this mistake. It is a mistake he will not forget, a mistake he will never make again. Officer Durr is willing to provide for the post-counsel during his suspension. After his suspension, he's willing to submit to drug tests. This is not going to happen again. He has always been an excellent officer with a mistake. One thing I would like to point out, on March 17th, through his attorney, me, we self-disclosed to Post. I called Alacosta. I told him about the situation, and, you know, in theory, Unified Police would have submitted this to the Post, but Brad wanted to make sure this got before the council and that it was addressed, because he made a mistake and he wanted the council to, he wanted to own up to his mistake. So this is a case where he did self-report, and he didn't wait around and hope that Unified wouldn't take any action. And Brad wants to make a couple of remarks.
Please.
I just want to say that I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm ashamed of myself and for my actions. I've learned a valuable lesson through all this, and something I will never do again. I hope and pray that I'll be able to continue to live my dream as a police officer again here in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Durr's counsel or Mr. Durr? All right, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion or a discussion.
Mr. Director, when does the suspension start from? From the date resigned or the date it was reported to Post again?
Typically from the date of separation from the agency. So in this case,
4/18.
4/18. Yeah, 4/18.
Okay. Can I make a comment? I believe it's from the date when he actually stopped serving as a police officer. So on January 4th, he stopped engaging in any police authority. The agency stripped him, put him on administrative leave, and took away his gun, his badge, and since that time, he has not not performed any police work.
Right, but I still...
It will be considered by the council. Okay.
Right. As a practice, we've always taken the date of separation. But that is something we can consider. And that date, again, was when?
It's January 2nd.
January 2nd, okay. Yes,
please. The focus of this seems to be the steroids, but the DV part of it isn't really dealt with. So my concern wouldn't necessarily be the steroid use. It would be the DV. But I don't know if it's not presented that way for a reason.
She's talking about the DV issue.
Oh, DV. So the reason the DV was put in there is because of the reasonable suspicion drug test. We wouldn't have been able to get to the reasonable suspicion drug test without the report. So in order to get to the reasonable drug test, it wasn't just a random test.
Right, so my concern would be the domestic violence issue. It wouldn't be...
Correct. Post, just for clarification, Post was unable to substantiate domestic violence, and we didn't have any clear and convincing evidence or anything.
Charges.
No. The reason that domestic violence is in there is because it asserts why the reasonable suspicion drug test was performed.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Counsel indicated that he's been forthcoming. Where did he purchase the steroids from?
From an individual who he had started a diet plan. Had originally started trying to work on his body. Started a diet plan. This individual suggested at some point that a faster way to do it would be to start doing steroids. And he provided that name to the Post Council. It's in the record.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we have a recommendation of a 3.5-year suspension. I'll entertain either a motion or further discussion.
Make a motion to accept the recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the 3.5-year suspension. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second. All those in favor of the 3.5-year suspension, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, I hope that passes. We'll do 3.5 years. Next case, please.
The The next matter for the council is the certification of Brian Fisher. He was not employed as a peace officer at the time of the offense. Sustained allegation is voyeurism, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3-year suspension, which is the baseline for this offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 25th, 2016, Brian Fisher was investigated by a local law enforcement agency for voyeurism. The investigation disclosed Fisher, while working as a security guard, used his personal cell phone to take 3 photographs of a woman under her skirt without her knowledge. Fisher was arrested and charged with voyeurism, a Class A misdemeanor. On October 18, 2016, during a post-Garrity interview, Fisher admitted to taking 3 photographs of a woman under her skirt while at his place of employment. Fisher confirmed the woman had no knowledge he was taking the photographs. On November 21, 2016, Brian Fisher waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
All right, thank you. Is Mr. Fisher or his counsel here?
Yes.
Would you like to address the post, please?
Yes, sir. I want to tell the council how much this has affected my life. It almost destroyed my marriage. I lost my job, lost my security guard license. I used to live my life with honor and integrity, and now it's all gone. And I've learned my lesson a millionfold. This will never happen again, and I ask for your leniency, and maybe I can go through post again and try to earn that badge and wear it with honor this time.
Have you ever been employed by an agency as a law enforcement officer?
No.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Fisher from Post Council? Okay, seeing none, I'll call for a vote. A motion.
I'd like to make a motion. Just to clarify, so this is a Category B with a range of 1.5-year suspension to revocation.
Right. Three down to 1.5.
Up to 3 years.
That's correct.
Okay. I just would say that I'd like to make a motion for revocation. I don't believe that an officer that is doing this should. I just don't think we should have that person as a police officer.
Checking to make sure that we can go that, and it is. All right, we have a motion that we take the 3-year suspension and change it to a revocation.
I'll second that.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of taking the 3-year suspension to a revocation level, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's gone through revocation, sir.
Thank you.
All right, next case, please.
Next matter before the council is the certification. I'm pretty decent with names, but Teen Hawk, formerly employed with the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is use or possession of controlled substance, marijuana, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension, which is a baseline for that category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On July 29, 2016, Teen Hawk was investigated by his agents for using marijuana. The investigation disclosed that Hawk had used marijuana while vacationing in Colorado. Hawk consumed edibles containing marijuana and smoked marijuana over a 1-day period. When Hawk returned to Utah, he disclosed his marijuana use to his supervisor. Hawk was terminated from his agency on September 1st, 2016. During a Garrity interview with Post, Hawk admitted to purchasing the edibles containing marijuana in Colorado and consuming them. On November 21st, 2016, Teen Hawk waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Hawk or a representative here?
Thank you for having me here. I am sorry to be in front of this council, and I deeply regret my decision. And I do not ask to have whatever you decide to be reduced by baseline or anything, because I do deeply regret what I've done.
So. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hawk from Post Council? Yes, sir.
Motion accept 2-year suspension.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the 2-year suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. You have the motion to accept the 2-year suspension and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? Next case.
The next matter for the council is the certification of Troy Marshall. He was not employed as a peace officer at the time of the offense. The sustained allegation is shooting from the roadway, which falls under category E of the post disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a downward deviation from the 6 months baseline based on the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On December 5th, 2016, Troy Marshall was hunting elk on a dirt roadway with a friend. The friend observed an elk approximately 70 yards from the roadway and stopped his vehicle. Marshall exited the passenger seat of the vehicle and knelt down in the roadway. Marshall loaded his rifle and fired one shot at the elk. After the shot, officers exited a nearby hunting blind and approached Marshall. An officer informed Marshall that the elk was a decoy and part of an investigation operation. The officer also explained to Marshall that it was not legal for him to fire his rifle from the roadway. Marshall was issued a citation for shooting from the roadway. Marshall contacted the court, pled guilty, and paid a fine. On November 3rd, 2016, Troy Marshall waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
All right, thank you. Is Mr. Marshall here? Or his representative? I see no one. All right, I'll take a motion or discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. So this was a dirt road.
Correct.
And it says up in the mountains, quite a ways away from population?
I believe so.
Okay. And it looks like he got the citation and then I would imagine later called in and paid the fine to the court. Because of traveling back to Arizona, that was probably the cheapest method.
Correct. I
was living in Arizona.
Oh, he was living in Arizona. Oh, living in. So he was a resident at the time.
And how long have you been certified by post?
He's retired.
He's retired.
He did over 20 years in the profession. Just still keeps his certificate active then.
Correct. Okay, we have a motion there.
I move we accept the recommendation.
You have a motion to accept the letter of caution and a second. Was that John?
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any approved?
Aye.
Or any approved? Any opposed? That passes. Thank you.
Next matter before the council is the certification of Matthew Martinez, formerly employed with the Beaver County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is sexual solicitation, which falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is a 1-year suspension, which is the baseline for this category. Summary of the facts are as follows. On December 15th, 2014, Matthew Martinez contacted the local police and reported his apartment was burglarized. During the investigation, the responding officer discovered Martinez agreed to pay a female Martinez had met on social media $670 to have sex with him. The investigating officer issued Martinez a citation for sexual solicitation. On April 23rd, 2015, Martinez pled guilty to sexual solicitation, a Class B misdemeanor. An internal administrative investigation was conducted by the Beaver County Sheriff's Office. During a Garrity interview, Martinez admitted he agreed to pay a female for oral sex and sexual intercourse. Martinez's employment with the Beaver County Sheriff's Office was terminated. Martinez failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on November On October 19th, 2016, an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge in Melton Martinez.
Is it on now? I don't know. Okay. Can't hear it. Is Mr. Martinez or his representative here? All right. I see no one rising. I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
Chairman, I'd like to recuse myself.
Okay. Beaver County Sheriff Noel will recuse himself.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the post recommendation of the 1 year suspension.
Do we have a second? Yes. We have a motion and a second for the 1 year suspension to be. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is a certification of Matthew O'Brien, formerly employed with the Brigham City Police Department. Sustained allegation is obstruction of justice, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a three-year suspension, which is the baseline for that category. Similar to the facts are as follows. On July 13th, 2016, Matthew O'Brien was investigated by his agency for obstruction of justice. During a Garrity interview with his agency, O'Brien disclosed that he lied to law enforcement officers during an accident investigation involving his vehicle, which his wife was driving. O'Brien told the investigating officers he had loaned the vehicle to a friend who crashed it. O'Brien disclosed he lied because he knew his wife was intoxicated and did not want her to get arrested for driving under the influence. During a post-Garrity interview, O'Brien admitted he lied to investigating officers and admitted his friend, who he identified as the driver during the initial investigation, did not exist. On November 22, 2016, Matthew O'Brien waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Is Mr. O'Brien or his counsel here? I see no one rising, so we'll go ahead. Either a motion or discussion.
Chairman, I move to approve the three-year suspension for Matthew O'Brien.
All right, we have a motion to accept the three-year suspension. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I have a second. Any further discussion?
Chairman, I have a question. I noticed in the hearing waiver that there was an interview July 13th, and it appears that there had been lying under Garrity at that interview. Is that right?
So how we, I apologize, you're unless fine. You want to address it.
I was wondering why our baseline is not a for lying under Garrity.
For revocation?
Yes.
So in this matter, the individual was under Garrity and during the Garrity interview took a break and left the Garrity room and then came back and disclosed that he was being dishonest. And so it was while he was being interviewed during that Garrity interview. So post has, how we've done it in the past is once the Garrity interview terminates, that's when lying under Garrity or failure to be honest or failure to provide any answers to questions during a Garrity interview would kick in. So he was dishonest at the beginning, took a break, came back and disclosed everything. And so that's why we post, we did not take action on the lying under Garrity.
Clarify why we have that in stance, because Garrity does not specify on the time frame. If we took action on anybody who lied under Garrity initially, we wouldn't have officers that we investigate. We would not survive, So we give officers a chance to warm up and come to the truth eventually, and most of them do, fortunately.
But at the moment, just for clarification, at the moment that Garrity interview concludes, then it's locked in. And then if we do any follow-up investigation at that time, it would. And we find that there is lying under that first interview, lying under Garrity will kick in and the revocation will be implemented.
That's pretty common. Just for your information, if we conclude the interview and they walk out that door, and when that door shuts, then that's the end of it. If they walked out the door, they come back in, then they can't rechange without a charge coming against Garrity.
All right. Do we have a, where were we? You had a motion and a second? Okay. For the 3-year suspension. I'll take a vote now. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Thank you.
Next matter before the council is certification of Brandon Palmer, formerly employed with the Logan Police Department. Sustained allegation is intoxication, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a downward deviation from the three-month baseline for Category F, and this is due to the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 21st, 2016, Brandon Palmer was investigated for intoxication by a local agency. The officer observed Palmer staggering and having difficulty with his balance. Palmer had difficulty remembering where he lived and admitted to the officer he consumed alcoholic beverages at two different establishments. Palmer submitted to a portable breath test on two different times. The first PBT indicated a result of 0.246 breath alcohol content, and the second PBT indicated a result of 0.266 breath alcohol content. Palmer's breath alcohol content was ascending, and he did not have anyone who could contact and care for him. Palmer was transported to the hospital for evaluation. Palmer was later medically cleared and transported and booked into the county jail. Palmer was issued a citation for intoxication, and on October 25th, 2016, Palmer entered into a diversion agreement. On November 22nd, 2016, Brandon Palmer waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Palmer or his representative here? I see no one rising. I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
Make a motion to accept.
I have a motion to accept the letter of caution. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Garland Pierce, formerly employed with the Utah Highway Patrol. Sustained allegation is sexual conduct while on duty, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 4-year suspension. This is an upward deviation from the 3-year baseline based on multiple incidents. A summary of the facts are as follows. On May 25, 2015, Garland Pierce was investigated by his agency for engaging in sexual conduct while on duty. The investigation disclosed Pierce had met with a woman at least two times while on duty and engaged in sexual conduct. On July 16, 2016, Pierce was terminated by his agency. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Pierce admitted to engaging in sexual conduct on duty on at least two occasions. During a Garrity interview with Post, Pierce admitted to engaging in conduct while on duty on at least three occasions. Pierce admitted to the two occasions which he disclosed to his agency and one additional incident of sexual conduct while on duty on or about November 25, 2015. On November 11, 2016, Garland Pierce waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Is Mr. Pierce or his representative here? Mr. Pierce.
Chairman, Council, my deep apologies for having to appear before you, having you spend your time for this hearing. As you can see, there are no real excuses for the actions that I've taken, and my apologies to the Utah Highway Patrol for tarnishing the reputation that I appreciated at the time of my hire. There are no good reasons for any actions such as these, and I accept responsibility. I appreciate the investigation team that in their professionalism, and I believe I was cooperative in their investigation. I have since this time. I'm going through therapy and through a addiction recovery program and to get my life back on track and gain some trust in my workplace and my life, including my family. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the council? I have one. Would it be your intention to return to law enforcement? Is it at some point?
Chairman, it's been my dream to serve the public, and it would be my intention to return to law enforcement after my therapist and the group that I go to feel that it would be time, as well as myself. And so, yes, I would return to law enforcement would be my desire.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Sure, I'd like to recuse myself.
Okay. I'm going to say Colonel Fuhrer. That's not right. Ravage.
A compliment.
will recuse himself from the highway patrol. All right. Do we have a motion then?
I'll make the motion. We accept the 4-year suspension recommendation.
Okay, we have a recommendation for accept the 4-year suspension. Is there a second? We have a second, Mr. Checkins. Any further discussion on the motion? All right, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, and UHP has recused themselves. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Council.
The next matter before the Council is the certification of Brandon Sargent, formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is DUI and Garrity violation, which falls under categories A and D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is revocation, which is the baseline for Category A. A summary of the facts are as follows. On July 4th, 2014, Brandon Sargent was investigated by police after the boat he was towing hit and knocked down multiple overhead utility lines. Sargent told police he was not driving the truck and that his wife had been driving. Multiple witnesses observed Sargent operating the truck while towing the boat. Police detected the strong odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from Sargent. Sargent performed field sobriety tests and was subsequently arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. Sargent submitted to an intoxicator test, which indicated he had a breath alcohol content of 0.094. On July 10, 2014, charges were filed on Sargent for driving under the influence of alcohol, a Class B misdemeanor, and a violation of overweight oversized permit, a Class B violation. On November 25, 2014, Sargent pled guilty to an amended charge of impaired driving, and the second charge was dismissed. On April 22, 2015, during a post-Garrity interview, after receiving a Garrity interview, Sargent denied ever being in control of the vehicle on July 4, 2014. Sargent said it was his wife who had been driving the vehicle when their boat hit the utility lines. On January 27, 2016, Post interviewed two witnesses who positively identified Sargent as the driver of the vehicle. On January 28, 2016, Post contacted Sargent to schedule a follow-up interview. Sargent refused to come in for a second interview and said he was no longer interested in participating in Post investigation. Sargent failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on October 7, 2016, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Sargent.
Thank you. Mr. Sargent, or his representative here? I see no one rising then. I'll entertain a motion or a discussion.
Mr. Chair, move to approve the recommendation of revocation.
Okay, we have a motion to revoke. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the councilor is Brett Seckler, formerly employed with the Department of Corrections. Sustained allegation is intoxication, carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence, and interfering with an arresting officer, which all fall under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2.5-year suspension, which is an upward deviation from the 1-year baseline under Category D
for the multiple violations and offenses. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 25th, 2015, Brett Seckler was home alone at his apartment when he accidentally discharged a personally owned firearm and sustained a burn to his leg from the muzzle flash. Seckler, who was intoxicated, called 911. Seckler was treated by emergency medical services. The investigating officer issued Seckler a citation for intoxication and carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence of alcohol. On September 14th, 2015, Seckler pled guilty to both charges. Seckler's agency conducted an internal administrative investigation, and Seckler's employment was subsequently terminated. On April 2nd, 2016, in a public place, and again on April 11th, 2016, at his residence, police responded to a call for service, found Seckler intoxicated, and charged him with intoxication. Seckler pled guilty to intoxication for the April 2nd, 2016 incident, and the April 11, 2016 case was dismissed. Finally, on June 6, 2016, Seckler and his ex-wife, were consuming alcohol and got into a verbal argument. During the argument, Seckler fell from a second-story balcony. Officers arrived and were attending to Seckler's injury when he got up and tried to run away. Seckler yelled at police and struggled with officers when they tried to arrest him for intoxication. Seckler was booked into the local jail for intoxication, disorderly conduct, and interfering with an arresting officer. On June 9, 2016, Seckler pled no contest to intoxication and interfering with an arresting officer. Seckler failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on September 29, 2016, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Seckler.
Is Mr. Seckler or his representative here? I see no one rising, so I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
Mr. Chair, I need to recuse myself.
Okay, Director Cook will recuse himself.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve post-recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the 2.5-year suspension. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, sorry.
Is there any further discussion? I have a motion to accept the 2.5-year suspension. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Unanimously passed. Next case.
Next matter before the council is the certification of Ronald Scheme, formerly employed with the Iron County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3-month suspension, which is the baseline for Category F. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 22, 2015, Ronald Scheme, a law enforcement officer with Iron County Sheriff's Office, and his wife went to a friend's house and consumed alcohol. Late in the evening, Scheme accused his friend of being inappropriate with Scheme's wife. As the two argued, both men began pushing each other, and the friend's wife got in between them, trying to separate them. Scheme began to walk away, and his friend pushed his wife to the ground. Scheme turned around and hit his friend in the head and then walked away. The friends followed Scheme. When the friend became confrontational with the neighbor, Scheme took the friend to the ground and held him until police arrived. The friend was transported to the hospital and treated for a cut and broken nose. The case was screened with the county attorney, who filed aggravated assault and intoxication charges on Scheme. On April 13, 2016, Scheme pled guilty to the disorderly conduct, a Class C misdemeanor. On November 14, 2016, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusion of law stating Post failed to prove by clear and convincing evidence the Scheme violated 536-11 in regards to the assault Class A misdemeanor under Utah Code Annotated 765-102, as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action in Count 1. Post was, however, able to prove by clear and convincing evidence the Scheme violated Utah Code Annotated 769-102, disorderly conduct, a Class C misdemeanor, as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action in Count 2.
Thank you. Is Mr. Scheme or his representative here?
We are.
All right, would you? Also, I would note that there is a letter on the back of your packet there from Iron County Sheriff. I'll give you a minute after council is done talking to review that letter.
I also have some additional letters of support that I brought. I tried to get these disseminated before today, but apparently it's the day behind.
As far as that goes, I know there's like, what, 30 of them or something like that? Okay. What I think I'll do at this time is if you just summarize what those are, rather than passing them out and reading five letters, I think that's going to take a lot of time. I think they both will all probably say that they are in support of Mr. Scheme. Is that correct?
That would be my summary.
Okay.
We have a letter of support from the Garfield County Sheriff's Office, both the sheriff and some employees from a local DEA agent.
Yeah, why don't you come up to the mic?
Sorry. We have some letters of support from the Garfield County Sheriff's Office, including the sheriff. We have a letter of support from a local DEA agent, Mr. Lacey, Agent Lacey, and then also from the Iron County attorney, who is the Iron County attorney is the attorney under which Mr. Scheme would have the most interaction in his caseload. And instead of, we don't want to pass these out, can I still make it part of, can we incorporate it into the record?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay, I will just leave that here for that purpose. We would like to thank the chairman and the council for joining us today and for this hearing. As the council heard, the recommendations fall under Category F. The baseline recommendation is a 3-month recommendation. However, the range is from a letter of caution to 1 year. Mr. Scheme's date of separation was on September 3rd of 2015. He resigned from the Iron County Sheriff's Office at that time and has not been reemployed in any law enforcement capacity since then. We would like the council to consider that as a mitigating factor, the fact that he has voluntarily been in that employment status or unemployment status with law enforcement for about 15 months now. And we would like the council, encourage the council to recommend a letter of caution for Mr. Scheme in this matter. And then we're also available to answer any questions that the council may have.
Sure. Mr. Scheme, do you want to address us or?
Well, I want to apologize to everybody for the embarrassment it's caused the whole state with law enforcement. Just like to move on, get this behind us so we can move on. Thanks.
Are there any questions from the council for Mr. Scheme or his representative? All right. I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Yockey. So on the disorderly conduct charge, is that because of the intoxication outside of the residence? Are you able to say?
Disorderly conduct was because he post-brings before the council because of the conviction in the court. And most likely mutual combat situation, but again, it's just from the conviction that resulted from the court.
And I was involved in the court proceedings, and so I could shed some light as to why he felt justified in tweeting to that.
Any further discussion?
I would like to ask a question.
Yes.
I'd like to ask the council, at what point would someone need to recuse themselves in a particular hearing? I'm fully aware of Officer Scheme as it was a narcotics agent with the Beaver Iron Garfield Task Force. That is about the only knowledge that I have of him, but I know about this case pretty in depth.
Sure, I'll turn to counsel for that.
Yeah, I can answer that question for you. In our code, this is what it says in the code. A member of the council shall recuse him or herself from consideration of an issue that is before the council if the council member has one of these three things: a personal bias for or against the officer, a substantial pecuniary interest in the outcome of the proceedings, and may gain to lose, or some benefit that probably doesn't apply here, or employee supervisors or works for the same law enforcement agency as the officer whose case is before the council. So I think your question goes to that first one, has a personal bias for or against the officer. So that's the question is, do you have a personal bias for or against the officer? If you do, then you need to recuse yourself.
Can we explain it to Kevin, just a little louder. I'm not sure if the sheriff heard you on that.
Sheriff Decker, did you hear that?
Yeah, Sheriff Decker, I want to recuse myself on this
All right. So we have Sheriff Decker recusing. What is your decision?
I'm going to have to recuse myself.
Okay. We also have Sheriff Noel who will recuse himself. So I'm looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the recommendation.
Okay. We have a motion that we accept the 3-month suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
And the second. Is there any discussion? All right, we'll call a vote. All those in favor for a 3-month suspension, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We have Sheriff Decker and Sheriff Noel who have recused himself. As far as the timing on that, when would that start, or when should that start?
The separation was...
All right.
September 3rd, 2015.
So you understand then that there'll be a 3-month suspension. That time has already passed.
I do. My request was largely academic, and I recognize
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Next case.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Cordell Thompson, currently employed with the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is a BCI violation, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Most recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a downward deviation from the 3-month suspension based on the minimal nature of the offense and the fact that there, in this matter, the victim was his wife. Summary of the facts are as follows. Cordell Thompson was investigated by his agency for a BCI violation. The investigation disclosed that during a BCI audit of his agency's records, it was discovered that Thompson accessed his wife's driver's license record through BCI on June 23rd, 2016, and again on July 6, 2016. In interviews with the criminal investigator, his agency and post, Thompson admitted he accessed his wife's driver's license record on 2 occasions for the purpose of purchasing her an Idaho one-day fishing license online. Thompson did not believe his actions were in violation of law because he did not gain anything and did not have any malicious intent. The case was screened with the county attorney, who declined to file charges. Thompson received a written warning from his agency and retained his employment. On November 11, 2016, Thompson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Thompson or his representative here? I see no one. Also, I would indicate that there is a letter from the Box Elder County Sheriff of support on the back of your packet. I'll either entertain a motion or discussion. Okay, we have a motion to accept the letter of caution as recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Unanimous. Next case, please.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Craig Ward, formerly employed with the Department of Corrections. Sustained allegation is impaired driving, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension, which is an upward deviation from the 1-year suspension, which is an upward deviation from the 1-year baseline under Category D. This is based on the high breath alcohol content and the accident. A summary of the facts are as follows. On October 12, 2014, Craig Ward was investigated for driving under the influence. The investigation disclosed that Ward was driving from his home to a campsite with his 9-year-old son in preparation for the elk hunt. Partway through his trip, Ward stopped for approximately 1 hour and listened for elk bugling. Ward said he consumed 2 beers while he was listening for elk. Approximately 10 miles from his campsite, Ward encountered road construction that was not there the week before. When driving through the construction zone, War struck a large plastic crash cushion. War's pickup went up onto the crash cushion and became stuck. War was not able to get his pickup unstuck. According to War, once he realized his pickup was stuck, he consumed more than half a bottle of whiskey. Police arrived approximately 1 hour later. When officers arrived, War was standing outside his vehicle and was obviously intoxicated. War performed field sobriety tests and was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. War submitted to an intoxilizer test, which indicated that he had a breath alcohol content of 0.17. or was terminated from his agency on December 12, 2014. On July 7, 2016, Ward pleaded guilty to an impaired driving in an open container. During two Garrity interviews with Post and a Garrity interview with his agency, Ward denied consuming any whiskey prior to getting his pickup stuck on the crash cushion. According to Ward, he was not intoxicated or impaired when the crash occurred. On November 24, 2016, Craig Ward waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Yes, please come forward. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Counsel, thank you for what you do. My name is JC, representative for Mr. War. I want to start off by stating that Mr. War has been consistent in not only his recollection, but also his articulation of the events giving rise for his appearance before you today, as noted in the notice of agency action as well as his criminal proceedings. That being said, I would request that any factors the council uses to determine discipline against Mr. Ward be limited to count one, impaired driving, and count two, open container. If indeed you do take those into consideration and limit your determination to those facts, the council has a history of keeping to a 1-year to 18-month suspension with individuals whose blood alcohol content is near the numbers of Mr. Ward, that being 0.17.
Mr. Ward.
Chairman, Council, never in my 15 years, nearly 15 years in law enforcement, would I have thought that I'd be in this situation. I'm not here necessarily to beg for mercy, look for forgiveness, but I'm here to make a statement that, you know, since the event that night, October 2014, it was pretty clear to me that I can't consume alcohol. I am that guy. I am that guy that can't drink a beer to unwind after work. I'm that guy that can't resort to the use of alcohol to alleviate any stressful situations. The instance that night are evidence of that. Since that night, I haven't had a drop of alcohol. I can't say it's been easy. In fact, the past 2 years have been the most difficult, stressful time of my life. I've struggled to keep a roof over my family, food on the table. I can't think of a more stressful situation a father and a husband could be in. But I've been doing that, and I've done that without that use of alcohol. Additionally, I've taken the steps. I enrolled in a Prime for Life class, alcohol education, community support groups, LDS addiction recovery program, which at the beginning of this incident is very difficult for me to do. Having spent that much time as a probation or a parole officer, it is very difficult for me to go to a community support group without seeing somebody that I've arrested, without seeing somebody's family member that I've been involved with in my capacity. That's a lot of pride to swallow, and it took me a minute to get that going, but that pride did get swallowed. I thank you for your time, and I do apologize, but I do assure the council that, that proverbial monkey is off my back. I am that guy now. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. War. Are there any questions for Mr. War from the council? Please. Mr. War?
Yes, sir.
A couple questions.
I have a question probably for our attorney.
Yes, sir.
Let me just clarify what the question is. It's a 2-year suspension recommended. He terminated on the 12th of December, 14. So would that be the date from which the 2 years begins?
If you take a 2-year action,
a 2-year suspension. On the 12th of
this month.
That's
typically how the host council is.
That would be it. Is that right?
That's correct.
I'm sorry.
No.
I wasn't sure which attorney to ask.
No, you're quite all right. Okay. We also have a question over here.
I have two questions. How old was the child in the vehicle? It was under 16, but...
The record we have, he was 9.
And then the second question I have, is there any idea about how much time elapsed from the time of the accident to the time law enforcement arrived on scene?
No. Approximately an hour.
So that is some things to consider. Post, we're putting our recommendation based on the accident and high breath alcohol content, but that's with that knowledge that there was alcohol consumed after the fact.
Okay. Colonel Rappage.
Clarify me, why isn't it considered Class A?
Post went with the impaired driving, Category D.
With the child under 16, that's a Class A, right?
Class A misdemeanor.
That would have been a Class A misdemeanor, but Post, we went with the impaired driving.
How come this has taken 2 years to come before the council?
We've had a lot of fluctuation in our investigators. Also, particular case, due to the facts of the case, we have to wait. Some cases we take immediately. Some cases we wait for the criminal adjudications to terminate. And in this case, the facts of this case, we decided it was best for the criminal case to proceed with them with it so that we could get a determination of whether or not there is guilt or not.
And Robert, you'll jump in. We had difficulty establishing him behind the wheel, and so we wanted to wait for the criminal case to adjudicate. And so that's why we don't know exactly when. We know there was alcohol on board, but we don't know if he was above legal limit at that time. I guess you could, figure it out, extrapolate where he was at the approximate time he was involved in that accident. But we felt it was better to wait for the criminal case to unfold and come to a conclusion. So, Robert, if you want to...
Yeah, and so it's just based on where Post brings it before the council because of the conviction for the impaired driving.
Right.
Any further questions? All right. I'll go ahead and take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I need to recuse myself.
Okay. Director Cook will recuse himself. Discussion or motion, please.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Yockey, what the time from listening to the, did I miss it, the time from listening for the wildlife and consuming the two beers to the time you hit the road construction, how long was that?
Approximation, but based on his testimony, it was 45 minutes to an hour.
40 minutes to an hour. And then about an hour for law enforcement to arrive on scene?
After the accident.
After the accident.
Any further questions?
Highway? Or dirt road or what?
State highway.
Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion, accept a 2-year suspension based on the fact that he's consuming alcohol on a highway with a 9-year-old in a vehicle.
Okay, you have a motion to accept the 2-year suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? That is last case.
The final matter before the council is the certification of Mikhail Watkins, formerly employed with the Department of Corrections. I wrote that incorrectly. He is currently employed with the Department of Corrections. Sustained allegation is fishing with prohibited bait, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a downward deviation from the baseline of 6 months for Category E based on the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On May 7th, 2016, Mikhail Watkins was investigated by an outside police agency for fishing with prohibited bait. The investigation disclosed that on May 7th, 2016, Watkins was fishing for sturgeon in Idaho. An officer approached Watkins and verified he had a valid fishing license. The officer inspected Watkins' fishing equipment to make sure he was using the proper tackle for that area. The officer found Watkins' tackle was in compliance with the proclamation regulations. However, Watkins was found to be fishing with pickled herring as bait. The area in which Watkins was fishing had prohibited bait regulation in effect until Memorial Day weekend. Watkins had read the proclamation and believed he was in compliance with all rules. However, he misunderstood the area in which he was fishing had a bait restriction. Watkins was issued a citation for fishing with prohibited bait under Idaho Code 36-901. On October 6, 2016, Mikhail Watkins waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Watkins here or his representative? Please. Also, if counsel will look, there is a letter of support from Captain Cody Nordell with the attachment if you want to take some time to look at that.
Just so I can correct the name for myself, it's Michael, and I apologize.
Mike, okay. Mr. Watkins?
Morning, Chairman, Counsel. Apologize for being here. My name is Michael Watkins. I've been employed with the Department of Corrections for 4.5 years now, and I've never had any disciplinary action up until this point. I love my job, and I love the fine staff that I work with every day. I try to live up to the mission and vision statement for my department, and I hope you will see that I tried to in this situation as well. I hold myself to a higher standard. I honor accountability and integrity on my patch. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of an outward expression of my inward beliefs. Unfortunately, with this situation, my brother had been trying to get me to go up to Idaho for about a year to fish for sturgeon. That's where he lives. I did so, and just a quick background, on the day before, Friday, May 6th, I had bought a fishing license for that day. I picked up a proclamation, and we went to the area that my brother was familiar with, and we fished with pickled herring, which I understood was how we fished and how he always fished, and there was no incident. I complied with all the proclamation rules and regulations. The next day it was raining, and instead of going back to the familiar spot that my brother had fished, which was 2.5 hours away from his house, he suggested a new area that he'd never gone to that he'd heard about, which was American Falls Reservoir, which was only about 20 minutes away. I went and bought another fishing license for that day, and I looked at the proclamation for American Falls Reservoir, and it didn't have any bait restrictions. I also looked at the region that American Falls Reservoir was under, and I've got that here too, and there was no bait restrictions. We went there, and we were told to fish right below the dam. The issue is that right below the dam is now the Snake River. The frustrating thing is I felt good about it. I felt good about reading the proclamation and about all the tackle that I had and felt I was in compliance. I double-checked. I triple-checked. I just was not aware. There was no sign saying it was a Snake River. Nevertheless, I take full accountability for my actions. The law was broken. I was honest with that officer. I've been honest with post-investigations with my department. I've received a written warning from them. And I decided to cut the trip short right after I got that. I drove straight home. I called my sergeant on the phone, explained the situation, took full accountability, which was a Saturday, and emailed my chain of command. Very frustrating. Nevertheless, I've tried to do everything I could to make the department proud, and I apologize for putting myself in this situation. And would just like to go along with the guidelines of a letter of caution. That would be my recommendation, for what I think. Thank you.
Are there any questions from post counsel for Mr. Watkins?
I have one. Mr. Watkins, by whom were you told to fish in that area? Since you were told by someone to fish there.
My brother had recommended that instead of driving 2.5 hours to get rained out again. He said he'd heard from other people, I believe it was his neighbor, to go fish at American Falls Reservoir.
I have one. It says in here that the actual charges were dismissed. Is that correct, that they were dismissed, or were they when you paid that bond or whatever they called it, was it just that they were closed?
The judge up there, you can't pay a fine. You have to go back up and meet with them. So I went back up to Idaho. I talked with the prosecuting attorney, and he believed me that I had no intent. And so he recommended a bond forfeiture, which is basically fine and the court costs. And I did not get the misdemeanor.
There's no charge on your record.
No charges.
Thank you.
No, sir.
Any other further questions?
Anything less for post-counsel than a written warning?
No action.
No action. I'd like to make a recommendation if we can, if we're to that point.
We are.
No action.
I'll second that.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to take no action.
I need to recuse myself.
Director Cook is going to recuse himself. Any further discussion on the motion and the second? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
No action. Okay.
That concludes the disciplinary cases for this council. Thank you, council.
You bet. Director Stevenson would like to take a minute, so we'll turn it over to
him.
Council, I hope this doesn't come across as white noise, because I know I've said this several times. Pre-council meeting, I'm humbled at the amount of effort that goes into the case by the post staff and the way in which you conduct yourselves and ask good questions. I just appreciate your work on this one as a Sherwin's council. It is not an easy decision. It's one thing to lose your job, but to lose your ability to work as an officer again, it's a big deal. And I'm glad you guys take it seriously. It's not something to take lightly. So thank you for that. And I want to thank Captain Kelly Sparks. He's taken up the slack where Lieutenant Acosta left us in retirement. He's done a great job of filling in that gap. But hopefully, by the next council meeting, we'll have a new lieutenant for you guys, and we'll just keep moving forward as business as usual. Sheriff Tracy, several weeks back, contacted me about background investigations, and I just want to let you know while I have a bunch of administrators together. Typically, someone has to come up and do a background investigation at post to review the file. I got with John Jacobs, and we have an ability now to screen share their files. So your background investigators do not need to come to post physically. They can view the file remotely. There will be a condition attached that they do not copy the information because there is still some sensitive information in those packets. But again, we can't police that. So I just want to have it on record that we are going to allow screen sharing for background investigations, but we do not want them copying the application.
So I'd like to thank the director for doing that. Also, this came up as a request from some of the chiefs and sheriffs down in the southern part of the state, trying to find a way to maximize their ability to quickly do a background check if somebody had, you know, has gone through post. And then was trying to be hired as someplace as a background check. That will save them time and money for not having to come up from parts in the south that are a long ways away. So I want to thank the director for doing that. That seems like a very equitable ability to save all of us time, and he moved quickly on that, and technology was helpful. So thank you for your efforts on that behalf.
I'll be sending out a letter to the associations, updating them on how this process is going to work. And we're currently training our staff so they can give you access to those files.
And we'll have a password and I think a username or something that will be secured. So that, you come up with one time, you can view it. Your investigators can look at that for their background check, and then it'll go away. So it's not hanging out there.
Any questions on it?
Not on that, on another topic. Can I bring something else up? I just wanted to point out, you know, as we go through these cases, I think it's obvious we see some stuff that we wish we didn't have to see, and some negative things about our officers. And I've just been thinking a lot lately about the number of good, the amount of good that is done by so many of our good officers. And I think it's just important that we recognize I wish we had an opportunity, maybe even in this meeting from time to time, to recognize some really positive accomplishments from our officers. I think if people were to watch us, which they obviously do, they might be left with the idea that there's a lot of bad ones out there. And I guess my thought is that I'm impressed with the amount of good that's done by these great men and women in law enforcement. And sitting where I sit, I get to see a lot of that back in Weber County and around. But it's been especially on my mind the last little while with the passing of Trooper Ellsworth from my neighborhood and area, and being a close friend with his sister, watching and being a part of that family's grieving process. And I just wanted to personally say thank you to each and every one of you, not just around this table, but I hope that reverberation goes a long ways and people can hear and recognize our gratitude for them and the hard work that they do on our behalf. Not quite sure why any of you'd want to do it right now with the way that you're treated out there in the public, but I express my gratitude wholeheartedly for that sacrifice. I want to personally thank Colonel Ravitch for his efforts and care and love on behalf of the Ellsworth family. I know that was tremendously comforting to them to have him treat them the way that he did, and I'm sure that he'll have fond memories and thoughts as he goes throughout his career, and being able to be a part of easing their burdens and their challenges. So I just want to thank him and maybe even go as far as asking you if you would allow this body an opportunity for a moment of silence on behalf of Trooper Ellsworth. That would help me get through the rest of this motion that's coming out right now, if you wouldn't mind.
I think that would be appropriate. Also, just the fact is that there was a Dan Jones poll last year in conjunction with the legislature that showed that we have an extraordinarily high favorability rating in this state for law enforcement, what our citizens think of us. And that's why this is so important. We have high standards, things here that nobody else in the business world cares about. We care about because it goes to integrity and honor. And as we keep those standards high by taking these corrective actions that we do, and by far they are the minority, we can keep that open and transparent dialogue with the citizens that we serve, and that is important. I would call for just a moment of silence, if you would, please. Thank you.
You were speaking, reminded me, I did an interview with Bruce Lindsay years ago, and he kept focusing on the negativity of our profession. Keep in mind, 8,700 officers in this state, we investigate less than 1%. It's 0.0008. That's phenomenal. I put those numbers up against any profession. Yes, unfortunately, there's a lot of negative that comes before this council, and that's why I thank you every meeting. We see the crap, and we see mistakes, and we see good people make poor choices, but still have to be held accountable because of the higher standard we establish. So I, again, thank you guys for what you do, and drive on.
Utah Chiefs of Police, Our chiefs typically and regularly report on the support they get in their local communities. We are not Ferguson, and sometimes people forget that. But in Utah, generally our cities, at least, I speak for the chiefs. I'm sure the sheriffs have the same kinds of response. But our citizenry supports and helps and respects our local law enforcement.
Absolutely. Thank you. One last
item of business. We do need to schedule our next meeting.
All right. We usually do it in conjunction with the Chiefs Association.
Yeah, probably it would be the 29th on that Wednesday.
Yeah, March.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
March.
Excuse me. It'd be March 30th. We have the roundtable on 30th. It'd be Thursday.
30th?
Yeah.
Where will that be?
St. George.
Well, yeah. In St. George somewhere.
Right? St. George and location to be announced. I think we have in the past been able to use Santa Clara's City Hall.
I can look to see if we can find a great place, too.
That'd be great.
I know people.
Do you want, can I come down your lap?
Yes.
All right. I'll wait to hear from you. Something.
So March 30th, generally we start around, what, noon or 1? Yeah,
1300.
We have the round table in the morning, usually last, then the sheriffs meet.
Immediately afterwards.
So probably.
Yeah, 1300 hours would be good.
Okay.
All right, 1300 hours on March 30th. Any other discussion or issues before the body? Well, thank you for being here. We'll dismiss. Thank you.